Hey, America, start listening now.
Hey, Sam, I gotta ask you a question. What have you gotten me into with all this Eurovision jazz?
All right, so you gotta really start at the beginning. So back in around 1955, this dude named Marcel Besançon, who's working for the European Broadcasting Union, decided to take all these different broadcasters from all over Europe and squish them all together. Crazy, and the voting all went completely wrong, and Poland was supposed to qualify, but they didn't.
I should have figured it was the French.
Well, welcome to 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast about Eurovision from America, the country that's very, very sorry. I'm Eric.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
And we've gotten off to a start where we're really mostly talking about the 2019 Eurovision Song Contest, because it was happening and just happened, but now it's not happening, and it seems like we never really introduced ourselves, and that was very rude.
We are ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very rude of us.
We'd like to get you to know us and us to know you without, you know, looking at each other's OkCupid profiles, so we figured that an episode of this podcast would be the most efficient and proper way to do this.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
We have a couple of... We're replete with treats right now.
Oh,
at
yes.
The podcasting table.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Because nothing says a podcast about a European song festival from the United States like Milka chocolate with Chips Ahoy and Tunnock's tea cakes, which is a personal favorite of mine. It's what a Malamar wishes it could be.
It's the official tea cake of 12 Points from America.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
We're trying to get that Tunnock's. That Tunnock's sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
That
Tunnock's. Fat Tunnock's cash.
Yeah,
Tunnock's,
cash.
If you're listening.
Tunnock's, please give us
all of your...
We're desperate.
I'll take payment in tea cakes. These guys probably won't.
I will accept a caramel wafer.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I probably would take tea cakes. I've had a good run. So Sam, this whole thing is mostly your fault. Why don't we start with you? How did you get involved in Eurovision?
It's...
Or not even involved, but how did you get interested in Eurovision?
I've kind of grew up in a sort of vaguely Anglophilic family. Grew up watching a lot of Monty Python, and I would hear every once in a while in a couple of these old sketches the words Eurovision Song Contest kind of float through the dialogue. So I knew the words, like this was a thing that existed, but I never really had the chance to watch it. And then when I was getting a little bit older and studying for my bat mitzvah, that was around the time that Israel had sent an artist named Don International, who ended up winning the contest. But we were talking about her in Hebrew school, basically that was my training for my bat mitzvah, as this really interesting trans woman who was singing for Israel at this big European song festival. And I didn't hear the song. It was before YouTube or anything like that. And then it really kind of kicked into high gear when I went to college. And I went to a school here in St. Paul that had about a 20% international student population. So every year, the European students would kind of start buzzing about, you know, oh, the Swedish song is better. Oh, no, the Bosnian song's great this year. I'm like, what the heck is this thing that they're talking about? And I quickly realized that they were discussing this magical festival that squished together all of these different things that I love. It's music and geography and language and culture and trivia and statistics and sociopolitics. Oh yeah. Oh yes.
Okay.
Oh yes.
A good festival where I can squish in statistics.
I mean, you know, go back to our last episode.
I mean, true.
And I had it on my sort of personal bucket list that one day I will go to Eurovision. And in 2011, it was hosted in Germany, which is a place that from here, it's not too tough to get to. And I was able to finagle myself a press pass through the official Eurovision fan club. And I've been going ever since to Eurovision behind the scenes. I've been going since 2011. Originally with ESC Kaz, and now I work with ESCinsight.com, which is another great site that does podcasting and a lot of editorial work. I've mentioned them before on the podcast. We love them.
They're a good friend of the podcast.
Don't
good
listen
the
to
podcast.
Her. They don't even eat Tunnock's tea cakes over there.
Yes, they do.
Oh,
who do you think introduced me to the wonders of Tunnock's tea cakes?
We love ESC Insight.
That's right. Friends of the show.
Very, very friends of the show. And yeah, so I've worked with ESC Insight for the last couple of years. I've also worked officially with the European Broadcasting Union with Junior Eurovision for a couple of years on their editorial team. And in 2017 and 18, I actually was a part of a delegation. So I actually worked with the Team Bulgaria in Kiev and in Lisbon. So I've done a lot behind the scenes, and I think my proudest accomplishment is just getting a whole bunch of my crazy American friends as much into the contest as I am. So one of us.
Yes, good.
It is definitely a good accomplishment.
And remarkably persuasive.
Well, again, that's where the Tunnix tea cakes come in.
Yeah.
I'm really just in it for the tea cakes. Mostly. But also the Eurovision.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, how about you?
So, I definitely remember post-high school years. So, like, mid-2000s. I kind of became aware of it. And I don't fully remember how, but I definitely remember, you know, maybe just browsing through Wikipedia, reading about musicians I like, something like that, coming across an article that mentioned the Eurovision Song Contest. And I thought, Song Contest? Well, that sounds interesting. So I looked at what some of these things were and kind of got a feel for sort of what it was like. I remember being intrigued by the format and about how each country sent a single representative, as it were. I remember seeing that Lordi had won in 2006. They were this Finnish metal band that did this song, Hard Rock Hallelujah, that is just wild. I remember checking out that song, and I remember thinking, like, this is really interesting that there's the song that goes back dozens of years, and then it got won by this metal group. I think that's kind of interesting. So that it was probably around then that I first heard about it. But I was really intrigued by, like, the scoring tables and things like that. Growing up, I was super, super into, this is still true, super into the Olympics and into baseball. And both of those things have all of these statistics and just different teams and all of this history and all of that. And it seemed like this seems kind of like that, but with music.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the stats, you've got the storylines and this and that, and all of the cool different countries, and you can see all of the different flags and all of the different whatevers.
And Russia still gets disqualified for doping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. And then about, let me think, that was 2006, so about 7 years pass, I am getting involved locally in Quiz Bowl competitions.
Mm-hmm.
If you aren't familiar, Quiz Bowl is basically like a team academic competition. The really, really short version is Team Jeopardy, but that's not really super accurate. But
if we have British listeners, it's University Challenge.
Yeah,
is
yeah
the format,
it's a lot like University Challenge.
Yeah,
so I got involved through that, I got involved in that, I should say, and that is where I met Sam,
hey,
and eventually Danny
and me
as well.
Aww.
And it would have been the fall of 2013. So I started early 2013 doing that. Fall of 2013, Sam and I have gotten to know each other a bit, but not to the point where we've talked about Eurovision and had the talk, as it were.
That would come probably about 15 minutes
every
later for anybody who meets me.
Every person's life, they get sat down by their friend and get given the talk.
About Eurovision,
yes.
Yeah.
So we were driving down to a tournament in Northfield, Minnesota, which is about an hour south of the Twin Cities where we live, just carpooling down there. And
so I had a captive audience.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was driving, so he couldn't duck and roll
outside right,
of the
That's
track.
Right. And we were just talking, and the topic of Eurovision came up. And Sam, I don't know how much you remember about this conversation, but you were kind of explaining how it worked. I was like, I knew about Lordi. I knew about Waterloo. By the way, do we have a clip of Lordi? Can
mm-hmm.
we just do that really quick?
Yeah, why not? Rock and roll angels, bring that hard rock, hallelujah. Demons and angels flowing one hand right. Rock and roll angels, bring that hard rock, hallelujah. God's creation, supernatural high.
Ah, yeah, that's the stuff. And now,
just inject that right into your veins.
Yeah, yeah. At around this time, there was a song that had become very popular in the U.S. from Europe. It was specifically from Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called What Does the Fox Say?
Ah, yes.
And I remember asking you.
I remember 2012.
Yeah.
Those were good times.
Yeah. I asked you, so could Norway send What Does the Fox Say? And of course, you're very nice. So you were like, yes, Eric, of course they could.
Meanwhile, the thought bubble above my head was, oh, God.
That was the first time I'd really ever talked to someone about Eurovision, and that started to pique my interest a little bit. And I guess what happened after that is for our next segment, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really my first introduction, was just sort of seeing it on Wikipedia and then talking to you about it, and just kind of the gears started turning. I think at that point I hadn't fallen in the hole yet, but you set me up to fall into the hole.
I put you in close proximity to the hole that you would fall into.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We approached.
I placed you near the hole and then I pushed you into it.
I mean,
yeah.
Where is the lie, really? So, Danny, you're kind of the noob
mm-hmm.
among the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you notch on that tea cake and tell us how.
I'll bring myself to a Tonic's tea cake.
Yeah.
Okay, so my story, I'm not actually sure of the exact year when my story starts. But this will be good because I'm getting this out there in internet land. My first proper understanding of what Eurovision is came while watching a documentary on Ovation, which is, it was like a specialty channel that was on like Dish, like channel number 590 or something. And it was like devoted to like fine arts and stuff, but they did this long running documentary about the history of pop music. And it's just the 20th century in just America. So they just analyzed like and charted the history of pop music. And of course, eventually they got around to like ABBA because you can't not mention ABBA.
Mm.
And you know, Waterloo has come up before, will come up again, and will come up during this episode, damn it. But that's it. Like, they did an actual explanation of what Eurovision is and how ABBA, like, just dominated with Waterloo that year and how that was, like, a breakout thing. So that was my very first exposure to the idea of Eurovision as a contest and, like, being able to fully understand what it was, not just hearing it mentioned. But if anyone out there actually has any idea how I can get my hands on the history of pop music, if anyone knows what the heck I'm talking about, it'll be great, because you can't just hop on Google and go, hello, can you give me the history of pop music? And then it just gives you an actual history of pop music. And that's not what I want. It's not what I want. But that's how I, you know, that was my first understanding. So later when I, you know, met Sam and got exposed to that, I was like, oh, so there's Americans who are into that junk. So that's how I just got pushed and nudged.
Mm.
For me, the whole was in the distance, and Sam was standing next to the hole, I discovered. Then she pushed me into that hole after I got close to it.
Yeah, I had one of those sort of vaudevillian hooks.
She got me from the other side of the stage. She played me off.
Yep, that's...
I used to take a nice bite of this tea cake.
Tonic's tea cakes.
Oh, yeah.
They're great.
They're
for
great.
When you can't find the documentary you watched when you were a teenager.
I think this would actually probably be an interesting point to say that if anybody at home listening to this wants to get in touch with us, and either one, share what was the song or what was the moment that kind of got you into Eurovision? You know, we are on Facebook, 12 Points for America, or 12 Points USA, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
We're also on Twitter at 12 Points USA. And we do have a dedicated email account as well, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's just 12, the number 12 points from America at gmail.com.
Yeah, so
drop us a line.
Yeah.
We love getting mail from Jan Olesand.
Friend of the parish.
Friend of the show. He just doesn't know. He just doesn't know it yet.
So you think, Eric, that your first Eurovision song that you remember it being a Eurovision song
mm-hmm.
was probably Hard Rock Hallelujah?
The first one that I knew in the context of Eurovision was definitely Hard Rock Hallelujah.
Gotcha.
Okay. Danny, what about you? The ABBA? Yeah, but
it was probably ABBA, yeah.
Right.
The Waterloos.
Yeah. You see, for me, like, growing up in the United States where there's so little exposure to Eurovision, like, it's really just dribs and drabs here and there,
mm-hmm.
a random documentary on Ovation or something mentioned in passing in a Monty Python sketch. Every once in a while, we'll get a Eurovision song that comes through, but one, it doesn't happen often, and two, we don't know that it's Eurovision.
Mm-hmm.
like back in 1996, so like my preteen, my tween years, as you could say, Gina G's Ooh Ah Just a Little Bit.
I knew Gina G was going to be rearing her head again.
She do. But like
Ooh
that
Ah,
was,
just a little bit.
Yeah.
Ooh Ah.
A little bit more.
A little bit more.
A little bit more.
Yes, thank you.
But like that was a huge hit when I was around 11 or 12 years old. But nobody in the U.S. had any idea that it was from Eurovision.
Mm-hmm. That's also true of, is it, what is the name, Secret Garden?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait,
Secret Garden.
It's a British thing.
A Nocturne. No, it's Secret Garden. They're Norwegan. They actually won Eurovision.
See, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like they were the palate cleanser between a bunch of Irish wins in the mid-90s. It was Ireland,
so
Ireland, great. Ireland, Norway, Ireland again. Which is funny because Secret Garden, I think, was half Irish. So it was basically 5 years in a row.
And it's also funny because look at Ireland now.
Hey, listen, she was having fun in that malt shop. Don't come for her like this.
But her milkshakes, but they didn't bring any of the boys to the yard.
They were just girls.
It was just girls.
That's the problem. Anyway,
but yeah, I mean, like, we get the songs sometimes, but we don't know where they come from. I mean... The same thing happened with Waterloo. Like many in the U.S. around that age, like it's a song.
Yeah, if you had told someone who was not me that Waterloo won this song contest and that this song contest is a big thing,
yeah.
I think a lot of Americans would just go, hey, "Yeah, it seems like it would win something."
Right.
Like they would think it was like the Grammys or something, but it is
not.
It is
no.
Not. Oh, it is not the Grammys.
No.
Another random song that crossed over, but like people don't realize that it was Eurovision. Eres Tú by Mocedades, which if you've seen Tommy Boy, that classic scene in Tommy Boy where David Spade and
Chris Farley
and Chris Farley are driving across the country and their radio gets stuck and they start singing along to Superstar. Then they start singing along to other songs, like
yeah.
Completely out of the song that they sing in Spanish.
Is a Eurovision song.
That's a Eurovision
song.
Ooh,
wow.
Yeah. That was Mocedades. That was 1973 for Spain. Yeah. You didn't even know.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah. So
there are lots of things I don't know.
What? Lies. Lies.
What I don't know could fill a warehouse.
Aw, but only a small warehouse.
That's very kind of you.
The
now,
wonders of Quiz Bowl. We know all sorts of random crap.
It definitely helps. I feel like that having that sort of curious trivia-ish mind lends itself fairly well to varied and interesting contest like this.
Yeah, definitely.
So Sam, you went over kind of your history with Eurovision,
mm-hmm.
but I guess my next question for you is, what was the moment where you were like, I love this. This is something that I eventually want to do a podcast with my friends about.
I would say... I mean, the first contest that I actually watched was probably the 2005 contest, but the first contest that I really dove headfirst into and realized this is so much more than just a bunch of songs and a bunch of points being thrown at each other was probably in the 2008 contest. And the moment that I heard the Turkish song for that year, it's by a band called Morve Ötesi. The song's called Deli, means crazy.
Like
DELI, like delicatessen, like
yes,
a delicatessen,
good.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it means
I get my salami.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
You get your turkey in this
go
case.
Please move on.
I'm sorry, my grocery store based puns are not to your liking. But it's this fantastic, solid rock track that it's still one of my favorites ever. And it made me realize that these songs that are coming up are more than just individual songs. They are representative of an artist who have a back catalog that are worth diving into. And I became a massive fan of Morve Ötesi. I still am. You know, I literally have a Turkish language textbook on my shelf right now. I was trying to teach myself Turkish on the back of listening to their music. And that contest in general, it really just sucked me in. The Portuguese song from that year, Senhora do Mar, was this beautiful, very traditional fado. The San Marinese song for that year was their debut. It came in dead last with their first entry Mi Odio with Complice was a solid, solid song. And for my money, the best that San Marino has ever done in terms of quality. So that 2008 contest, especially Delhi, that was the song that really kind of turned me from fan to fanatic. What about you?
Well, there were a few, I think.
Bring it.
2014. So we are now 6 months after I was put near the Eurovision pit by Sam.
Oh, it's expanded from a hole to a pit.
Oh, yeah, it's a pit now.
It's a pit now.
It's a pit now.
Yeah.
Go on.
Because we needed more room for the victim people.
Pushing people in.
And, and so Sam does a Eurovision party every year where unsuspecting American folk are shown all of the songs, and then we rate them, and then
they're strapped to a chair like in a Clockwork Orange.
Yeah,
their eyes are peeled open, and they're forced to watch all 40 odd songs in a row.
It's the Ludovico technique, except it's much gayer.
And with more hummus.
Yeah, yeah.
Marginally worse music. Marginally worse.
I remember not really quite knowing what to expect, especially in terms of the songs. Like, I'd heard a few songs, but we were going to listen to 40-odd songs for 2014. And there are a few that I distinctly remember. The first song, so, like, my first, like, Eurovision song as an impending fan was the first song from the first semifinal from that year. Do you remember what it was?
It wasn't Cheesecake. It was at MMP3.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was Armenia.
Yes, Armenia. A song called Not Alone. A very nice ballad that turns into an Imagine Dragons song for about a minute. It's a nice, it's pretty good. I still listen to it on occasion. It's a solid one. The one that got me, though, the song that ended up, it didn't win, it ended up finishing second in the contest itself, and that was Common Linnet's Calm After the Storm, which is really one of the best songs, Eurovision or no, that I'd ever heard. There had been a lot of pop music to that point. I guess I haven't looked at the full list and seen kind of like what I'd heard to that point or you know, what immediately preceded it or anything like that. But all of a sudden, we had this acoustic folk ballad duet with absolutely gorgeous vocals. It is like the album that Robert Plant and Alison Krauss did in like 2011 or 2012. That's just, I think it won the Grammy for Album of the Year. It's phenomenal. And that song would have fit in on that album perfectly.
Is this the one that had Waylon in it?
Yes, he was
one of the Common Linnets. He was originally one of the Common Linnets. He left the band soon after that contest, but they've continued recording as Common Linnets. Ilsa is still...
So let's listen to that song for a second.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my God.
Gorgeous. So good.
So at that point, that song was the first one where it was just like, this contest can be anything, which is a big part of it, that it is largely a pop music contest. It produces a lot of great pop music, but it can be anything. And I realize that I've previously talked about Hard Rock Hallelujah, which is also kind of evidence of that. But to be there and to kind of see it in sequence was sort of a whole different experience. There are a couple of others... There are a few others. I'm just going to run through these really quickly because this was a momentous day, because by the end of this, I was hooked. And basically, here's why. These might not be in the order we saw them, but Poland, Wisłowania, there's no point in playing audio of this because it doesn't work without the visual, because the visual is...
special.
Yeah.
We talked about this song before. Like, we talked about this one, I think, last episode, I think. It's just one of those songs that bears repeating. And yeah.
Think, if you will, I'm gonna paint a word picture for you.
Yes.
Butter churning.
Oh, this one!
And extremely low cut.
Yes.
Things.
Uh-huh.
And also a lady singing. Mm-hmm. That's really it. That's
the
whole thing.
A song?
Was there a song?
Okay.
I think there was a song. So there was that. There was a guy from Hungary who had a song called Running that was basically about child abuse and about getting out of that sort of situation. And it was a pretty good song, and I believe it ended up doing fairly well at the contest. But the music video was very vivid in its depiction of that sort of thing, and it was in first person, and it was weird, and the room was just really weirded out. I remember that very well.
That was very divisive.
I remember Cheesecake. By Teo from Belarus.
Belarus.
Belarus. It made Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines look like a song from Sesame Street.
Uh-huh.
It was so unbelievably skeezy. And that was a big highlight. I mean, it wasn't a highlight; it was a low light. But it was a memorable part of the party going around, and everybody just, you know, giving a score from 0 to 10 and just going 0, 0, 0, 0. I don't think we've had anything like it.
Looking back on my old records, that is the one that has garnered the lowest average. I think the average is like 0.3.
Mm-hmm. And I would be remiss to not mention Conchita. The winner that year with Rise Like a Phoenix, and the uproarious response that this room had to the theatrics and to the song itself. I mean, people were going crazy for...
People were losing their minds.
Yeah.
It was like the liberation of France.
It was.
I mean, the thing is, like, when people first saw her, they were absolutely losing their minds. It was chaos in this room, and we're actually recording right now in the room where this is the room where it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 30 seconds into it, they got over the bearded drag queen and were just like, this is actually really solid.
Yeah. It kind of made way from just sort of laughing at the ridiculousness, or laughing with the ridiculousness, I should say, to being like, wait a minute, this is amazing.
This is like what a Bond song wishes it could be.
It's one of the best. It's one of the best Bond themes of all time.
Yeah. Like, imagine Shirley Bassey singing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has the range.
Oh yeah, she would just bring that greenhouse down. You know?
So,
Umino?
Yeah,
yes.
You know.
How did I get hooked? All right. Well, the 2018 Eurovision party was a big hit.
Oh yeah,
because it was my first exposure. The first ever Eurovision video that I properly saw in the modern era was Toy. That was me literally.
Oh, that's right. Because
literally arriving to the party and seeing Toy.
Yeah,
because
not only did you come late, we actually had to replay Toy.
Exactly.
Because
yes.
I knew that
everyone had already voted on it.
Yeah,
yes.
I feel like we had maybe like just gotten to the end of Toy, and then Danny showed up, and we were like, okay, we got to do that one again.
Please watch this.
Yeah.
Like, this is how it needs to start for him.
Yeah, so there were a lot of things from 2018. I mean, we had that Czech party boy on a camel. That was good.
Nicholas.
Yes. And then there was, Waylon, who I absolutely hated. I think I voted him like a 1. I really just didn't like that song. So there were a lot of memorable moments for me at that first Eurovision party. But I have to say, the moment that actually got me, like, interested in Eurovision outside of the party was... I was just in bed one night and watching YouTube mindlessly before bed. I was watching, like, past Eurovision stuff, like, countdowns. And, Eric, I don't remember if I was, like, if I had to send you a text that moment, if it was, like, 1 a.m. or something. But it might have been the next morning, because I had watched a video for a song that I thought was the stupidest song that I'd ever seen. And it was Cake to Bake.
Oh!
Because I remember your response, which was immediately, oh yeah, you hate that song? That is like Sam's favorite Eurovision song.
No shame. No shame.
Just
I absolutely love Adam Zemniecki's Cake to Bake.
Cake to Bake. The song is literally, it has no pretense. It's just about a cake to bake.
We have to share this with the audience, and we're playing.
You must listen. Yes.
Right.
I've got a cake to bake. I've got no clue at all. I've got a cake to bake and have it on that before. Don't be proud, babe, please don't bother. No, come on and ask your mother how to bake, how to bake, bake that cake.
That makes me so happy.
It is just about baking a cake. And it has, for me, it was just like the cutest, like the sweetest little guitar riffs. And I was just like, this is, who decided to enter this for Eurovision? It did two things. A, it repulsed me, it revolted me, it disgusted me. And two, I had no idea that a country would choose to select something like that. Because up to that point, like, Eurovision was just like, it's theatrical, or it's like a really well-done chamber piece or something. But this was just like, you know, four boys in yarn hats and their two acoustic guitars they brought to this party. I immediately
wanted
to leave.
There was a girl. Don't leave Katrina out of
it. Yeah, she's there. She's also in the yarn hat, and she also makes me want to leave this party.
I should note, that was also 2014. I want to say that was probably...
that the fateful year, I guess?
That was a solid, solid year. That was also the year with Iceland's Polapunk, the
mm-hmm.
you know, the Wiggles,
another good one.
The Wiggles on Acid. Nice, guys.
You may not have heard that one.
Wiggles on Acid?
Yeah.
I'm sold already.
Yeah.
They literally do punk for kids.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's, but the band has some, like, really, really solid musical credentials anyway. Like, they toured with Blur. Yeah, solid, solid folks.
Who wouldn't want to tour with Blur?
I know,
you're
right?
Saying punk rock for kids, and I'm imagining, like, the Ramones, like
that's
doing basically Sesame
later.
Street, but they're still saying, 1, 2, 3, 4, and just, like, thrashing these kids. It's great. Just, like, they're in front of, like, a stack of 10 speakers. Yeah.
We're pretty far from Eurovision at this point, too, have you? But have you ever heard... the album, I think it was like 1979, 1980, that the Ramones did with Phil Spector.
What is it?
I think, I think it's called End of the Century or something like that. Anyway, it's great. And
wait, this is the one that has like rock and roll radio.
Yes,
on.
It is.
Yes. Okay,
that's
yes.
The one. Yeah.
Oh, can you tell it's Phil Spector?
Yeah, yeah. So Eurovision.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did Phil Spector ever do anything with Eurovision? Probably not.
I hope not. No, I'm pretty damn sure not.
Okay, well...
He's too busy perming his hair.
Yeah. Ugh. So, Cake to Bake was my second Eurovision song, as it turns out. It was the one immediately after Not Alone.
That's right. That was second in the first running order. Yeah, that's a bit of a whiplash going from Not Alone to Cake to Bake.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of style, but like that song, like I'd heard that song when it was first released as like a semi-finalist at the national final in Latvia, and I'm like, oh, this is just charming as hell, and like I was absolutely sucked in because the lead singer Jordan, the most earnest, lovable, he's like a golden retriever in human form. He was so thrilled to be there. He's a German guy who was living in Latvia, and it was always his dream to be
on a scale of actual golden retriever to like. Alexander Rybak, like, how much of a golden retriever?
He is happy-go-lucky, thrilled to be anywhere. You just want to give him a hug. Like,
he's a 7.
Yeah, he's golden retriever. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But, like, in the best possible way. And I interviewed him, and he was just, like, happy and bouncing off the walls. And, like, I ran into him at Euroclub. He's like, so mad! But, you know, gives me a big nice. We're still friends on Facebook. So, yes.
He's a good friend of the show.
Hi, Jordan.
What's up?
Hey, but
thanks for listening.
I have no idea.
Stop. <Yeah. laughs>
But I mean, just goes to show that something that just hits one person's ear and just their heart and is just warm and fuzzy and lovable is absolutely not your cup of tea.
No.
I'm not into it either. I remember this conversation that you mentioned.
where
you were like,
oh no, Sam loves that. Don't tell her.
Of course he had to tell me.
Yeah.
I think it was like 2 days later.
Yeah. It's, I appreciate that it's there. I appreciate that there is different things. That song in particular was just...
Every year needs a cake to bake.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like if everybody liked the same stuff and if everything was all, you know, monochromatic, then
I mean,
it would be
Denmark
so
Denmark made it to the finals this year with a cake to bake, basically.
No. I think...
I feel like Latvia's was almost kind of cake to bake-ish
this
again this year. In the sense that it was just sort of acoustic-y.
It's going to be like our two nouns moving forward. Like, we're going to have fuegos and cakes to bake.
Cakes to bake.
Cakes to bake.
Attorneys general.
Yeah.
Cakes to bake.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that being part of our vernacular.
I think so. Yeah. It's that and bees on a hike.
Bees on a hike. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't forget about bees on a
hike. Just got to deal with the bees on a hike.
So, I'm trying to even think back of why we decided to put our heads together anyway and just decide to share this podcast with ourselves and hopefully more people than just
we wanted to unleash this plague onto the world. An undeserving world.
The pit demands more.
It hungers.
I mean, I wanted to start a podcast to improve my dating life. And it did. No, I mean, I feel like we had talked about doing some sort of Eurovision project for a while. We Sam, you and I have done some stuff for KMSU in Mankato,
mm-hmm.
Exposing their weird radio listeners to Eurovision, which has been great.
Yeah,
shout out to
Shy Boy Tim and
yeah,
Shelly.
Shout out to
friends
of the show,
podcast.
Shy Boy Tim and Shelly. How's it going? In the back of my head, I've always just wanted to be more involved and to maybe eventually do what you do and go to Eurovision. As we talked about a couple episodes ago, I'm going to be also going next year. It's going to be my first one.
Yeah.
So excited.
In the Netherlands.
In the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
In scenic De Heisgerfleerifk.
I know you spoke Dutch.
Yes. We will be in, yes.
That thing you said.
Right off of the dike, you know.
Yeah.
I mostly just wanted to do this because I get obsessed with things, and this is, I don't know, this is going to be a long-standing obsession. Clearly, it's been a long-standing obsession of you guys and millions of other people out there, and I just get into this thing where I just try to evangelize this stuff to people. Because when people think of, like Europop or Eurovision pop music, like, half the stuff that comes to Eurovision really does sound like stuff that could be on Top 40 radio here. It just doesn't break through, and so a lot of this stuff is high quality, too. So, listen, people, and that's what this is for.
Yeah, and we want this to be a podcast for people who are both experienced at Eurovision and just want to, you know, be part of the conversation, and people who have no idea what the heck we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want this to be a podcast for everybody. We welcome comments. We welcome feedback. Again, we're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Send us an email directly. Scope out our website, of course, you know, 12thplanetforamerica.com.
And hit us up. It's summer. We're lonely.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, we are so excited to be able to share our points of view with you and just, you know, basically just BS with each other in front of
mm-hmm.
a microphone for a couple of minutes a week.
Plus, we're Americans, so you know that what we think is great.
It's important. Yes.
That's right.
It starts out important.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we get to start out with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
and you know what?
Ranch.
So your ketchup and ranch, Cranch. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Shout out to Cranch, friend of the show.
Yep. With that sick Cranch sponsorship.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Tonics and Cranch. And I think we just found the title of our podcast for this week.
Tonics and Cranch. That's my favorite mid-70s R&B duo.
Peaches and Herb, Tonics and Cranch.
Tonics and Cranch, yes.
Yep. Reunited, and it feels so wrong.
Yes.
Folks, there's an important thing that we haven't talked about in a while.
What is this?
And that's when you're getting into Eurovision and really wanting to do it right and get into just the Eurovision hole, as we've talked about.
The pit.
There is no...
The canyon, the chasm at this point.
The crevasse.
The yawning maw of
Eurovision. No, there's our title.
Yeah.
Go on, yeah.
I just want to say that there's really no better way to do that than with the great taste of Tonic's tea.
Oh,
because with Tonic's tea cakes, there's a blast of Eurovision flavor in every bite. And
the first bite tastes as sweet as that kindergarten teacher who sang that Denmark song this year.
It's like Montgomery Eurovision food.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So much meringue.
Mm.
Oh, God.
You might get to the end and be like, is it too late for another Tonic's tea cake? And the answer is no.
Well, yeah, it is, I just took the last one of the box, guys.
Okay.
I'm sorry. But
what?
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Maybe this would be the right time to say, hey, America,
stop listening now.